Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, as we are every single day. And our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook, and hey, you can join 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this Saturday at 3rd and Home, located at 919 3rd Avenue North in Germantown, for a Preds watch party as the Predators take on the Philadelphia Flyers at 11:30 a.m. Come watch the game, get some Preds swag, and also enter to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Joining us now is TD Teron Davenport. Appreciate you for joining us, TD. He joins us every Monday at 1 o'clock. TD, I'm reading this article put out by Jim Wyatt at the Pro Bowl, and Jeffrey Simmons could not say enough nice things about the hiring of Rand Carthon, about what he thinks about Rand Carthon, and he says in their discussions about his contract, Jeffrey Simmons says he feels confident about being in Tennessee moving forward. I mean, that's a stark contrast from what we've heard from Jeffrey Simmons' sit down with The Athletic a few months ago, where he said, the last conversation I had, they didn't know where the money was going to come from. Really big difference over the last few months. What changed?
Well, I think what changed is a lot of things. And obviously, it starts with the new GM, but I think the perspective, just in some of the people that I've talked to, it's been made relatively clear to him that he's not going to have to play on that fifth-year option, which is important, right? And there's going to be an extension that's going to be done at some point. So I think that's really the main thing, is just reassurance that he is a priority. And if you notice in those comments, that's something that he said Rand Carthon told him in the conversation, is that he is going to be, one of the priorities.
Do you think Jeffrey Simmons wasn't a priority to John Robinson, or was it more so just the approach and the communication between Jeffrey Simmons and his agents and John Robinson?
I don't think that he wasn't a priority to John Robinson at all. And I think it's just a matter of advancing to the next stage of things, right? You look at, as you get closer, I mean, it was something that they could have kind of put off, right? And now we're getting closer, we're getting into that off season, and that part of it is where you have these discussions. So I don't think that there was exactly an indication that he was not going to be brought back. I know there was communication between both camps, so I wouldn't say it wasn't a priority. It's just where it is now in the whole order of operations and where we are on the calendar.
And now, TD, we brought up earlier something Jim Wyatt said. He was answering a few questions in his mailbag, and a question came up about Nate Davis and would Nate Davis be back with the tight side Nate Davis. Jim said he, and he's not saying it like he won't be back or he will, but he was just saying in his opinion that he think he won't be back, meaning Nate Davis. What do you expect the Titans to do with Nate Davis? Do you expect them to make a hard push to try to bring him back, so they don't then have to go out and get someone at the guard position? Do you expect him to hit free agency and be gone?
Yeah, I think he's going to hit free agency. I think they'll make an offer, but in my opinion, they may be bracing themselves for him to be priced out of what they are willing to pay. I think that's really the case with that situation. I mean, he's a guy that came in, right, and he struggled a bit early, but then worked into the starter role, and he's been a solid starter for them since his rookie year. So you do have that, but I think that compounded with how deep this class is at guards. I mean, you could get guys, all the way into early day three that could come in and compete for a starting spot. So I think you look at both of those things, along with where they are financially, that's probably an indication that there could be a parting of ways. But I do believe that they will make an offer.
Now, another guy that I'm interested about, and it's not on this team, because I read a few things this weekend about T. Higgins, and maybe he might just price himself out of Cincinnati. Because he does want a new contract. But then they know and understand that, listen, Ja'Marr Chase is coming up pretty soon too. And he's going to want and deserves a lot of money. Honestly, he might deserve to be the highest paid receiver in the National Football League. Do you think, one, that T. Higgins gets out of Cincinnati, and do you think the Titans should kick the tires on that?
I think when you're looking at the contract that may be on the horizon for Joe Burrow, there's a good chance that he does get out of Cincinnati. And then you also, eventually down the line, you're going to have to pay Chase as well. So those are a couple guys that are going to warrant a good portion of the salary cap. So it's definitely possible. I think it's going to happen. If it does, it will be via trade. And one of the things that I always look at, and I use the example of Peerless Price, right? When he was in Buffalo opposite Eric Moles, he was eating, doing really well. And then the Falcons signed him, and things didn't really work out. And you know how it is when you're the top receiver on the team. You're getting that attention. And the guy on the opposite side, he's getting what? One-on-one coverage. And, yeah, I will put my money on T. Higgins over a lot of corners, most corners, in one-on-one. So I just wonder if that shifts how that's going to work for him. I don't think that he would struggle, but I don't know that he would be as successful also. So that's something you have to balance out as you're looking at that big money picture as far as paying a free agent like that.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, just on the offensive line question as a whole, I know we just asked you about Nate Davis, but when you look at what they likely have to spend and maybe the market out there for the blend of drafting a guy or two, signing a guy or two, it looks like there's going to be a pretty decent overhaul. You're going to have a new offensive coordinator, a new offensive line coach. How does the market look to try to sort of overhaul, at least to some degree, your offensive line?
Well, you obviously have a few free agent options. You want to keep an eye on what San Francisco does with their right tackle, Mike McGlinchey. But to be honest with you, a lot of times you don't really see a quality offensive lineman become available. You don't. There's not a lot of Roger Saffolds, that type of situation. You don't see that frequently. So I doubt he becomes available. Again, I've said it over and over again, Andre Dillard out of the Eagles, that's a unique situation because he is a quality offensive lineman. He just got beaten out by a higher quality offensive lineman and one who happens to be the offensive line coach's project that has blossomed into a starter. So, and that's Jordan Mailata. Other than that, I mean, there's not really much out there. But the good thing, this draft, as I mentioned, with these guards is pretty deep. And there's some tackles also. You know, if you don't get a tackle at pick 11, you could come back at 41 and you could get a quality guy there. So I think that's really the way that they're going to improve that offensive line is through the draft. And that's good because especially when you're a team that is looking to add quality players but not have to, you know, really break the bank, the best way to do that is by drafting guys that could come in and be impactful.
What are your biggest takeaways from the Senior Bowl this week? I know you weren't down there like you normally are to really get into the depth that you do, but I know you pay very close attention to what happens down there.
Yeah, I think you look at, and that's actually where you see some of the depth there, right? You got Osiris Torrence, who some are projecting into the first round out of Florida. I think if he's there at 41, you know, that's something that you definitely look at. There's a lot of centers down there too. You look at the Minnesota center, John Michael Schmitz. He's someone that I think could be a pick that they could look at also. So long story short, depth on the O-line. There were a lot of guys. Darnell Wright out of Tennessee, he made himself some money down there. You go back and you look at his game against Alabama, he held his own against Will Anderson. So that's something. That's what I really pulled from it, the depth along the offensive line. And, of course, we got to mention DeJuan Jones, that mammoth of a man, 6'8", 359. Now, some of his measurements showed 375, but the one that I saw was 359. But let me tell you something. Like, he was really punishing guys in that one practice that he had that Tuesday. I got to see some of those one-on-ones, and he was giving out work.
Now, TD, if you had a chance to watch the Pro Bowl, what did you think of it?
Well, I think it was good for the younger viewers, like the younger viewers. Not as much for someone like myself. I watched it, and, yeah, I didn't really I didn't really care for it. But, I mean, at least the guys were a little more competitive than they normally are. But it wasn't really something for that I would probably watch again.
Well, that's just how I felt, TD. It was like, you know, I mean, I tried to watch a lot of it. I just couldn't get through it. And I kept turning back and forth, but it wasn't, like you said, it was more so for the younger viewer, teenagers, kids. But exactly. For me, it was just like, nah, I can watch something else.
And when Kirk Herbstreit was saying that he thought that Kirk Cousins was starting to feel the pressure in the flag football game, I was like, come on, Kirk. He's not feeling any kind of pressure. Last one for you, TD. Tyrone Davenport is with us. Do you think the Titans should inquire about the first overall pick?
Absolutely, inquire, but that doesn't mean do it. There's multiple reasons, too. Ryan Tannehill, I feel, is the guy who should be the quarterback this year. Absolutely. I feel he should be the one, but I don't know that there's a long-term commitment to him. So that being said, you're right there in the market for a guy that could be your long-term quarterback. So when you have that dilemma on your hands, you have to, at the very least, find out, okay, what would it take to get there? Just in case, as you're going through your study, you fall in love with a guy. You know, you need to be able to have that set up to where you can, you know, have things in place to try to make that move up there. So, yeah, I think they should inquire. It's not something that I think they should do, but absolutely inquire. You always have the opportunity to put another iron in that fire, right, for the Bears, to be able to use against other teams, i.e. the Colts and the Texans, to drive that price up. So that's something else as well.
TD, we appreciate you for joining us. Are you headed to Phoenix this week?
No Super Bowl for me. The only way I go is if the Titans go. So, you know, I'll be home.
Sooner rather than later, right?
Hey, we'll see.
All right, TD, we appreciate you. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, for sure. Take it easy.
And that's what I want to get into coming up next.
But we do have some big news, though.
Oh, we do?
Per Ian Rappaport. So we need to
We'll get into that as well. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.